radio@firehouse.com. Real issues, real answers, real firefighters.
The Chicago Squad Companies and the concept behind that. Tell me a little bit about, you know, what goes on. I know, you know, there's rescue companies in some places. Some places have rescue squads. But when you hear of the Chicago Fire Department, you think of the snorkel squads. And so if you could just tell me a little bit about, you know, Squad 2, how many squads you have, you know, what's the makeup of the squad company?
Well, we were just talking about this the other night. The actual squad company 2 that I am on is our 30-year anniversary is just coming up.
Okay.
And so the squads have been in service in Chicago since the very early 1900s.
Okay.
And at that time, they were an auxiliary manpower unit with some specialized tools. They had a cutting torch back in the 1900s, you know, an acetylene torch, and they were manpower. And then they had they did the first EMS stuff too, I guess, the inhalator units, mm-hmm. right? And way before my time. But the new squad, then it came the Commissioner Quinn developed the snorkel, and the snorkel squads, SS1 was the first snorkel squad, and they ran the entire city in the, I guess it'd be the, oh, people are going to kill me for not knowing my history, but in at least the 70s, maybe mid-60s,
okay.
through the 70s. And then there were flying manpower squads, which were just, they looked like, I remember them as a kid in the 70s being... they look like a Wonder Bread truck almost.
Yeah.
And they're black and red, and they went to all alarms and extra alarms in the city.
Okay.
But the new Squad 2 is a two-piece apparatus or a two-piece rig concept where you have a box rescue vehicle,
okay.
which is a front rig, and now the chase vehicle is the snorkel.
Okay.
And so it's Squad 2 and 2A, and you see those up until, I think, those are in service about 10 years up until about 10 years ago. The snorkel was the primary vehicle.
Okay.
And then we would have an older chase vehicle, a chase rig, we would call it. So it's a six-man company and for the three squads in the city, or in the city proper. And then there's Squad 7 out at O'Hare Airport. And that's a two-piece and with also six men. But they run a little different with the airport operations. The squads are six men, four in the front, in a box truck, which has it's a walk-through cab, and it's got we're divided into three two-man partners,
okay.
groups, and you've got the officer and his partner typically deploy to the front door, at least on Squad 2, on a third platoon, and we've got some leeway, but. We go through the front, and then the driver of the box rescue is and his partner are the roof team.
Okay.
And so they'll help the truck out on the roof, you know, and assist in any way they can. And then the driver and the partner, his partner, the snorkel, are the rear team.
Okay.
So, and just it's basically at a fire. We're manpower, and we're at the chief's discretion.
Mm-hmm.
Our primary primary job, as most chiefs use us, unless circumstances arise, is we assist the truck and do primary and secondary searches, and then assist in basic truck work. Unless they, you know, we are manpower, so we'll pull a line when the chief tells us to take a line and assist in any way possible.
And with the snorkel, you know, assuming you try to use that as an aerial device when possible, if you're going to have
correct.
A major fire.
Our snorkel is in Chicago. Our standard operating procedure is to give the truck the front of the building. The first due engine pulls just past the fire building, and quite a few of our streets are smaller one-way streets with just room for one apparatus in line, so that the engine will be a building in front, and the truck gets the front of the building for the use of that aerial ladder and to deploy ground ladders.
Okay.
So the squad's down the street. We don't belong on the block of fire. But on commercial streets,
mm-hmm.
where we can get it and any extra alarm, We always try and position our snorkel in for aerial operations, for master stream operations.
Okay. So. And then on the box truck or the rescue truck, I assume you carry a full complement of rescue and technical rescue gear.
Yes, the squads in the city do are tasked with all the technical rescue. The city, we do we respond to fires within our district. There's in the city proper. There's four. They divided in four areas. So okay. Squad 5 on the south side. Squad 1 is downtown, and they cone out into the city. Okay. And we have the north and west side, and we split that up a little bit with the Squad 7 out at the airport.
Okay.
And but we respond to fires, any fires, working fires, and any pin-in accidents, any construction accidents, or where there might be a technical rescue need. Okay. And scuba diving, water rescue operations, and hazardous materials operations.
Okay. And then as far as getting into a squad company, how does that process work? And, you know, do you need an X amount of years on the job and experience before you get on, or?
It's pretty competitive. It's, okay. It's the X amount of years, and now you have to be a scuba diver on your own to have a PADI certification or equivalent. And then the more training you have, the more resume. But I think they wanted 5 years of service. Okay. On a fire company. And before I was at Squad 2, I've been there for almost 7 years. And I started off my career on an engine 102 in Rogers Park, and then crossed the floor to the truck after a year or two on the engine. I get my dates right. But and then spent a couple of years on truck 25 in 102's house.
Okay.
And you learn the job and engine and truck work, you
know. And as far as training, you kind of touched on it before. You know, your training kind of kicked in when you found out you were kind of in trouble in that room, in the bedroom. How do you maintain your level of training, assuming that you're probably running quite a bit? So in between the runs and daily duties, what kind of training regimen do you guys have?
You know, we train a lot. I work with they're the best bunch of guys in the city, our crew. And we love, I think we're all students of the game. Okay. That's our little saying, and several of our guys on the company have been instructors at the Chicago Fire Academy, and other members. Some of those guys are also teach with other institutions, the Illinois Fire Service Institute, and a couple other private organizations and not-for-profits. And we do two or three drills a day, and it may be one drill's just a chalk talk on a board, about tactics. And we do a lot of after action, mm-hmm.
Reviewing
reports and review, okay. and we'll go over previous fires, but we do a good couple hours of hands on, and even in our work schedule, mm-hmm. with all the tools and equipment on our apparatus. When you're doing compartments, you're pulling tools off, you're laying hands on them, if it's a cutting tool, we'll grab a piece of steel out of the back and do some cutting. We practice on rapid intervention procedures quite a bit. And that rapid intervention, it's a lifesaver. It's from just having it in your mind what to do. It's point A, point B, you never stop moving. And if it's, you're going after a down fireman, it's one set of, tactics. Mm-hmm. But when you become the trapped, lost, or hurt fireman, you got to know what you're doing to help yourself.
Yeah.
Having a radio is instrumental, mm-hmm. and can't say enough about that. And on the other end, being on the other end of the spectrum, listening to that radio.
Yeah.
And, I try not to talk on it. It's not my place. I report to my boss face to face if I can. Mm-hmm. But hearing everything that's going on, especially if you're operating, typically we operate on the squad two operates on the floor above.
Okay.
The first two truck and engine, they take the fire floor. That's their job. Mm-hmm. We're there to support them. And while they're doing their job there, we'll operate the floor above.
Okay.
And, you know, that's when that keeping your ears open and listening to what's going on and what progress they're making.
Mm-hmm.
But just it's a constant training cycle. You know, every third day we're drilling and and critiquing.
And this particular day, you guys were in quarters. It was around a block. It wasn't like you guys were out. So, I mean.
Yeah, it was actually, it was one of the jabs where I was just getting ready to go to bed. And, you know, and all of a sudden you're out the door and you're scrambling to get your gear on because it is that close. You know, everybody's getting dressed and getting on a rig, getting belted in and whipping around a corner. You know,
and you're
it's
there.
Basically a block and a half east or east of the firehouse and a couple blocks north.
Uh-huh.
That's it. So
okay.
It's right around a corner.
All right, cool. Well, thank you again for taking the time. This is Radio at Firehouse, and we're here with Joe Martinelli from Chicago Squad 2, the top winner and grand prize winner in this year's Heroism and Community Service Awards program. You can read more about this, too, at firehouse.com. Look for the Heroism tab. And also, we will have a diagram of the what we call Form C of the Heroism packet. You can kind of see what Joe encountered from an overhead. Looks to be a pencil drawing. So please download that, take a look at it. And thank you for listening. And we'll see you all again soon. Again, congratulations, Joe.
Thank you, Pete. Thank you very much.
If you have a comment on this program, drop us a line at radio@firehouse.com. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned to firehouse.com for more broadcasts like these. Or visit our website at www.firehouse.com/radio.